It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
It's Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball. Down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Almost drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here are your hosts, Lance Meadow and Paul Dottino.
And a happy Labor Day to all our Giants listeners. So glad you could join us. We are officially getting you set for the start of the 2013 campaign. Alongside Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow. So glad you could join us on this Monday morning. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Also, chime in on the conversation on Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat. You can follow and interact with us. Paul is at Giants, WFAN. I am at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We're going to take a look at the 53-man roster. We'll break down the seven members of the practice squad. And if you have any thoughts or concerns about the Dallas Cowboys, we will certainly get into that. It is early in the week, but the Giants will practice today. The goal is to hopefully get Victor Cruz out there as he works his way back from that heel contusion. But let's start with this 53-man roster, Paul, and a couple of notable surprises that missed out on making the roster. I'll throw out two names, and I'm sure you agree with them. David Carr and Adrian Tracy, two players that I think most people thought would have made the final cut.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that, Lance, because going into the final cuts, it seemed as though David Carr had outplayed Painter. I'm still not sure 100% exactly why they decided what they did. I'm never going to argue with Jerry Reese, only because if you look at his track record since he's been the Giants GM, guys who he jettisons off on this roster usually don't amount to much after they leave. And so while I can agree to disagree with Jerry, and in this particular case I do, I can't really be too hard on him because he seems to have a pretty good handle on what he's doing by virtue of the two rings on his fingers. Now, having said that, I also believe that in looking at Adrian Tracy, this is a guy who they really liked when they drafted him a few years ago. They devoted a lot of time and effort into trying to develop him. An often injured early part of his career seemed to sidetrack his potential. And yet, somehow, some way, they just let him go. And I don't know. Usually, that's the kind of guy that hangs around a little bit longer because they have put so much time into helping him overcome injury, into helping him try to scratch what potential he has underneath that surface. And yet somehow they just decided it was time to let him free. I don't know. I didn't see that one coming at all. I guess because Gilbride and Coughlin had talked about a quarterback competition, which again, I didn't see. I wasn't as surprised by Carr as I was by Tracy.
Though with respect to David Carr, he has run the scout team the last couple of seasons, and you could even point to evaluating their preseason play, Paul, that Carr outplayed Painter at times. Painter, especially even against that Jets team, started off good and then slowed down as that game progressed.
I don't think Painter is a very accurate passer over 20 yards, and to me, that's a problem. But I will say this, Eli Manning has been an Iron Man. And fingers crossed for the Giants, they never need to get Curtis Painter in a game.
That will be the ultimate goal, to keep Eli Manning healthy for all 16 games. And part of that is how the offensive line plays and how the running backs pass protect. They went with four running backs. Andre Brown is on the active roster along with David Wilson, Darrell Scott, and Michael Cox. Darrell Scott was a bubble player. But given the fact that Andre Brown has the fractured leg, I don't think the Giants had any choice. They needed to keep at least an additional running back, Paul. You knew Michael Cox solidified his role based on his contributions on special teams. David Wilson wasn't a question. But Darrell Scott, I think, made this team given that Andre Brown got hurt in that final preseason game.
There is no doubt in my mind about that. But I do believe there will be another running back in here within a week. You know, the rule in the NFL is if you sign a free agent veteran before the first game, you must guarantee his salary 100% for the entire season. Many teams will wait till after that first regular season game to bring in that veteran that they've been looking at because they don't want to guarantee the money just in case the veteran is out of shape, just in case the veteran gets hurt, and they want to be able to jettison him without necessarily hurting their salary cap. Quite honestly, I think it's a dumb rule. I think the NFL should get rid of that rule, and this way you wouldn't have to play games about waiting a week to get the guy that you want on your roster. I mean, what are we doing as the NFL? You know, putting in rules that prohibit coaches and GMs from signing guys that they really want. Why are we doing this, Lance?
It's a very convoluted process. I mean, you can even say the rules in place with the practice squad don't make sense as well. You know, having a limit on who you can keep if you're ineligible after 2 years. I mean, the bottom line is if a team wants to keep you around and you have the ability to maybe move up to the 53-man active roster, I don't see why they have to limit if you played more than 9 regular season games. I mean, you could have gotten in for 2 snaps. That doesn't mean much to me. So I would like to see them tweak those rules as well. Everything to me is really complex and more so than it really needs to be. And maybe this is something they'll address when they renegotiate the new CBA. Not that that's going to happen around the corner.
But I will say, to reiterate, I do believe there will be a new running back on this roster within a week or two. And so Darrell Scott's tenure with this team is very, very tenuous at best. I will also say that in looking at the 53 as it was constructed, keeping 4 tight ends was a very, very big surprise. That being because Adrian Robinson sprained his ankle and was on crutches following the Patriots game, and the Giants clearly decided they did not want to get cut short because Henry Yanosky has only taken a few snaps in practice at fullback, and so Bear Pasco will probably have to open up in the backfield against the Cowboys, and the Giants figured, hey, we need to have a second tight end available in that game. And so Larry Donnell made the team, despite the fact that he was very inconsistent during the course of the preseason. They've decided that he's the guy who becomes the 4th tight end. And so the Giants go with 5 linebackers instead of 6. And Kyle Bosworth, who was really good on special teams and was flying around during the preseason, winds up getting cut, and he signed with the Dallas Cowboys yesterday.
That's why the linebacker situation to me and the safety situation are the 2 surprises, not necessarily the personnel, but just the numbers of players that they kept, because no one really stood out, as we've talked about for weeks, Paul, within this linebacker core. So I felt that they were going to keep 6 to have some extra depth in case somebody gets hurt, and there has been a track record of a lot of these guys getting hurt throughout the course of their careers. And then with respect to safety, you're talking about Antrell Rowe still trying to recover from an injury. He's not necessarily 100%, even though he played in the last preseason game. Cooper Taylor only appeared in 1 preseason game after dealing with that lingering hamstring injury. So the only healthy safety technically on the roster right now is Ryan Mundy. Tyler Sash, they had an injury settlement. They got rid of him, though he did show some flashes on special teams, and he is familiar with the system. I was surprised, at least initially, that they didn't keep an extra safety. However, based on what you just explained with the other injuries elsewhere, it comes down to a numbers game, and that's why they didn't probably have the luxury to keep an extra safety.
Well, I also think part of the issue was that they wanted to keep 9 defensive backs, again, given the fact that they had to juggle horses at the other positions. And when you look at the 9 DBs, they've got 6 quality corners on this roster, including Tremaine McBride, who also plays specials, and they like very much. He's a gunner out there, Lance. He's doing a good job for this team. And so I'm sure that they also said if they weighed the safeties against the corners, how much depth do we have at corner? How many really good, talented players do we have there? Is Tremaine McBride a better corner than Tyler Sash is a safety? And I think they decided absolutely, positively, yes. And so that was one of the reasons, in addition to Cooper Taylor getting on the field in preseason game 4, which proved that he didn't have to go to IR, because I kind of thought with his hammy, that would be a possibility for him. They decided to go with only the 3 safeties, also realizing that Aaron Ross and Terrell Thomas both can play some backup safety in a pinch. And so that made perfect sense to me, to be honest. I had them taking 3 safeties on the 53. That wasn't a shocker. But to me, I still think that the Carr thing, the Tracy thing, and I guess to some degree the Bosworth thing, were the ones that stuck out in my mind.
And I get the fact that Aaron Ross and Terrell Thomas have had experience playing safety, so I can see that you move the corner around. I just look at it, the last couple of years, they have played three safety alignments time and time again. So that's probably going to be a scheme that we're going to see throughout the course of the season. More often than not, you're going to need that third safety, given Thomas's injury history. Ross also, getting up there in age, also has some injury history. I thought they'd play it safe, go the conservative route, and maybe keep another safety. But like you said, it's a numbers game at the end of the day.
Now, I do want to tell the folks, in case you weren't around your house yesterday, maybe you're still on your Labor Day vacation and you didn't know what was going on, the Giants did sign seven practice squad guys. They left one spot open. And of the practice squad guys, there are a few names here that really stick out for me, and I'm glad they're here. Adewale Ejomo, the defensive end, who had four sacks last year, had 2.5 sacks this year. Those are preseason stats. He is back. So is Charles James. He was my dark horse at the rookie minicamp. He indeed has made the Giants practice squad. This little corner has so many skills and so many tools. But you know what? He's only 5'7", and that's why he doesn't get drafted. Because he's 5'7", and people are just scared stiff of a Smurf like that being able to compete in the National Football League. But as we saw, Lance, he led the Giants in punt returns this year. He was actually the one guy who stepped forward and looked like he could do the job. The bad news is he's on a practice squad, so he can't do it on Sundays, but it was good to see him there. Late-round draft pick, the sixth-round choice, the guard, Eric Herman, out of Ohio. Very inconsistent during the preseason, but he comes back to the practice squad. You had to figure that was going to happen. And then the other guys who filled it in, Stephen Gooden, Matt Broha, Marcus Harris, and Julian Talley. Again, all of these guys were on the Giants training camp roster and were cut over the course of the last 2 weeks. And they've now been brought to the practice squad. The Giants did not import anybody else from another team. And that's important to note because there were some guys who did switch around. I understand Terrence Frederick, the corner, was a guy that they were considering bringing back to this practice squad. And he wound up going to, I can't remember now where, but he left.
Cleveland.
He went to Cleveland? Yeah. Okay, so he decided that he wanted to get out of here. He saw the competition was too good at corner, and he went to Cleveland. So that was a guy who they thought about. They also thought about Etienne Sabino, the middle linebacker from Ohio State. Ultimately, they decided not to sign him, or maybe he went somewhere else. I did not see that, but he was another player who was under consideration.
And you wonder, are they leaving that extra practice squad slot open in the event they have to cut or waive somebody on the current roster, and they feel maybe they can move them to the practice squad, assuming they pass through waivers? That may have been the rationale as to why they've keeping one spot open.
Could be, or as happens many times, teams will keep that one practice squad spot open because they're always worried about a plethora of injuries during the season. And it's like, well, you know, wait a minute. We just want to keep that spot there because we never know. We might have to rotate different spots and different positions in that one spot during the year, depending upon who we're playing and how many guys we have available.
And just remember, in terms of the rules, for those of you who are unfamiliar, who's eligible to go on the practice squad, you couldn't have played more than 9 regular season games. That removes you from contention. And also, you couldn't be on the same team's practice squad for more than 2 years. So that's why they still had the flexibility with respect to guys like Matt Broha and Adewale Ejomo, who may be throughout the course of the season, Paul, given an injury, could be called up to the active roster. I mean, they have experience, they know the system, and they showed once again in this preseason they have a knack to get to the quarterback.
You can't have enough of pass rushers, let's face it, Lance. And so the Giants decided that both defensive ends were worth keeping around.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. On Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Paul's at Giants WFAN. I'm at Lance Meadow, last name M-E-D-O-W. Let's head to the lines. We start with our good friend, who I have not heard in quite some time, Victor in Texas. Victor, how's everything?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? Actually, I'm not in Texas right now. I'm just calling. I'm calling from Korea, actually.
So okay.
About 11 o'clock p.m., so...
Wait a minute. You're in Korea. Quick. Are you serving?
Yeah. Victor does serve this
country. God bless and thank you.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Paul, you know what you could do for me, Paul? You could answer my question on Twitter. I always ask you questions. At NYG Men for Life. I hope
my track record of answering you is pretty good because I try to answer everybody.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's a hit or miss. Hey, guys, I got just three quick things, and I'll jump off. The first thing is with Eli Manning and his wide receivers, Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks haven't been on the field at the same time. And looking at that chemistry, do you think that's something that, you know, going into the Dallas Cowboy game, that they'll be able to sync up, or is that something that's going to hinder them? And second, looking at the running back position, Andre Brown, I mean, this guy was a goal line, you know, monster for us. And I'm looking at Wilson. He's very fast. He's got a thick build. But can this guy actually handle the load? And I know Daryl Scott and Michael Cox is going to be there, but Michael Cox is going to be more of a return guy and be used in situational downs. Do you think Wilson can handle the load? And thirdly, looking at the injury to Stevie Brown, which I think is not, a lot of people understand the significance of his injury. I mean, he was very good for us, and very few use him in a very good way. He started bringing him down to the box. Do you think Ryan Mundy is going to be able to handle that same load? And do you see Terrell Thomas playing that role as well sometime?
All right, well, why don't I take the offense and Lance can take the defense? I will tell you this. Victor Cruz is hoping that he's going to be able to practice some today. At the very least, Tom Coughlin would love to see him out there Wednesday.
He said the other day that
if he could get 3 full days of practice out of the guys who were close, he felt that would be enough to get ready for Dallas. So Wednesday is really like the litmus test for Coach Coughlin, although Cruz would love to get out there today. We're going to see in a couple of hours. In regards to David Wilson, I think David Wilson is getting better at learning all of the things that he needs to be as an NFL running back, but he's not quite there yet. It is one of the reasons that I still believe the Giants will bring in a veteran running back, if not this week, next week. There will be a guy here. I continue to tell people the door is not closed on Brandon Jacobs. I believe that is a very real possibility. Whether or not it happens, look, there are some dominoes that could fall in a different direction, and maybe that won't happen. I still think he's a good fit here, and I suspect that could happen and should happen, quite frankly, if you're asking for my opinion. But no, David Wilson, in my mind, right now, is not ready to take all the snaps in a game and handle all of those responsibilities that a running back has to handle.
The one bright spot that I will throw out that I saw in this last preseason game, Paul, was that David Wilson is becoming more and more of a versatile back. And what I mean by that, when we looked at David Wilson last season, to me it was running off the edge using that speed. Against the Patriots, they used him inside, and he was carrying some defenders. That's a little new wrinkle, perhaps, that we'll see more of this season.
Yeah, I think that David Wilson, as he matures, remember this is year two for him, his body's starting to get into that new, I don't want to say new area, but you can tell when you look at a rookie that he's not fully developed yet. And a lot of times guys will put on 5 to 10 pounds over the course of the first couple of years in the league. And it's about body fat. It's about muscle mass. You know, their frame is their frame, but it's about what they do with it. And I think David Wilson, who's always been cut and always been in good shape, I think he's a little bit more pro body ready, if I can steal a term out of the blue here.
And with respect to Victor's third question, which was about the safety play, because Stevie Brown's no longer in the mix, so Ryan Mundy's going to take over. Listen, the positive to look at this is that Mundy has experience playing the free safety and the strong safety. He backed up Troy Polamalu. He backed up Ryan Clark in Pittsburgh. Both of those players were injury prone. They never got through 16 games. So that's a big positive. Is it a matter of him finding chemistry with Antrell Roll? Absolutely. And I think that may take a game or two because they haven't really been on the field that much during the course of the preseason because Roll has been nursing that ankle injury. But I think that will develop. That will come with time. And we're probably going to see Terrell Thomas and Aaron Ross on the field in the safety spot, as Paul touched on earlier in this show, because they only have 3 safeties on the roster. Ross has had experience in that position. Terrell Thomas has also had experience. And those of you who followed this team very closely, you know Perry Fuel likes to use 3 safeties. So don't be surprised if you see Ross and Thomas get some time there early on, especially since they have some added depth at that corner position. And we talked about this at the top of the show. They have a lot of players that they can turn to at the the corner position. Plus, they kept Tremaine McBride. You know, Hostley is still recovering from an injury himself. And Corey Webster and Prince Amukamara are going to be your backup. So as long you're going to be your starters, rather. So as long as Webster and Amukamara stay healthy, you know, Ross and Thomas may not see a lot of playing time down and down again. Therefore, you throw them into the safety spot. I think that's probably the type of rotation that you'll see throughout the course of the season. And Victor, as Paul mentioned, we do appreciate your service to this country and hope to hear from you throughout the course of this season here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's head back to the lines. We go to Dan in Port Monmouth, New Jersey. Dan, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Dan. What you got?
Just still trying to wrap my head around the David Carr cut. I don't think that any of the backup quarterbacks looked especially good in the preseason. But I don't see why you wouldn't keep a guy that's been in the system for the last couple of years, knows the playbook, and you take a chance on a Curtis Painter who hasn't had much playing time in the league. I think he started a couple games in Indianapolis the year Peyton went out. But other than that, I mean, I don't see why you keep a guy like that around. You know what I mean? He knows your system, knows everything, knows the playbook. He's used to sitting behind Eli, so... Just wondering about that. What do you guys think?
Well, the only thing I would say is that Coach Coughlin made it very clear to all of us during the preseason that this was a competition. This was not just a matter of throwing Painter out there for the heck of it. Tom Coughlin said this was a battle, and apparently the Giants believe that Painter won. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I will tell you that there are a lot of things that get taken into account when there are two guys fighting for a position. It's not just the snaps you see on the field, which is how I have to grade it because that's what I see. I'm not in the classroom with these guys. I do not know all of the intricacies of their contracts, although I will tell you, David Carr was scheduled to make a little over $1 million this year, and Painter's scheduled to make a little bit more than $600,000. So the Giants are going to save about $400,000 off the salary cap by keeping Painter instead of Carr. Now, I'm not going to tell you that weighed heavily on the decision, but is it a byproduct? Sure it is. I mean, that's almost $500,000 that the Giants now have that they may need to use for somebody else later on this year. How much that weighed, I can't tell you because I really don't know. But my eyes told me that David Carr was the better quarterback.
And we're getting a lot of questions about this decision on Twitter, and you can use hashtag Giants Chat at Giants WFAN is Paul at Lance Meadow for me. I was surprised, basically, the fact that Dan, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in this morning. I was surprised by this move mainly because David Carr had been so reliable on the scout team. Season in and season out, they always use him to simulate what they're going to see come Sundays, and the fact that they don't have that opportunity now. Not that Curtis Painter can't serve that role, and from what I heard, Tom Coughlin's going to use Ryan Nassib in that role, but it's a rookie learning curve. He's got to get used to, you know, what it takes to prepare for even the opponent, let alone digesting the Giants system. So I think they had a luxury that David Carr knew the system. He knew how to run the scout team. There was comfort level between him and Eli Manning. I was a bit surprised that they went the route of Curtis Painter. Hopefully, you know, Paul, as you threw out at the beginning of the show, they don't even have to worry about the backup situation, because if that happens, that means Eli Manning gets hurt. So I understand a lot of people are worked up over this topic, but at the end of the day, the primary goal for this team is keep Eli Manning healthy, and you should be more concerned about the offensive line play and the running backs before we worry about the backup quarterback.
No doubt about it.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Ed in Maryland. Ed, what's happening?
Hey, Doug. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I had a question or concern about the 53-man roster, and I was looking and seeing that we kept four tight ends, Larry Donald, Brandon Myers, Robinson, and Pascal. And I'm just thinking to myself, we're not going to be able to use a fourth tight end much this season, like in Larry Donald. And to cut Marvin Austin, who was a second-round pick just two drafts ago, I think that was a little bit early to let him go. Because pretty much Larry Donald is going to be a healthy scratch during the season. So what do you guys think about cutting Marvin Austin? I know that Mike Patterson had a good training camp, but I think he was still, you know, he had a better preseason than he's ever had with us. And I don't understand keeping a fourth tight end to let go of a second-round pick that might have helped us down a lot.
Marvin Austin showed relatively few flashes during his time with the Giants, and in fact, his best game, his best appearance as a Giant was week three of the preseason against the Jets. He had never looked anywhere nearly that good in any of his other performances. But the other thing you need to remember, though, about this Larry Donnell situation is going into the Dallas game, as I said earlier, maybe you weren't listening, the Giants are probably going to have Pascoe at fullback. So now, who are your tight ends? Adrian Robinson has a sprained ankle. So, what, are you going to go into that game with Myers as your only tight end? I don't think so. The Giants do have a number of double tight end formations. Now, Donnell, I believe, is practice squad eligible. You heard Lance say before, the Giants may be looking at some point to take one of their current guys and throw him into that empty spot that they left on the practice squad. I'm going to say that perhaps when they sign that veteran running back in another week or two, maybe Donnell is the guy who gets cut and moved to the practice squad. You know, Andre Brown and David Deal are both injured right now. And beginning, let's see, after 4 o'clock tomorrow, I believe it is, teams can designate a short-term injured reserve player who would miss the first 8 weeks of the season. I would think the Giants are heavily considering David Deal and Andre Brown for that move. They can only put one per season on that list. It's not really a list. It's just one guy who you designate like a franchise player. You only get one. Now, will it be Andre Brown? Will it be David Deal? I don't know. But that's an area of this roster that's also going to be tweaked as well. Look, the 53 that are on the practice field right now, they just went out there to start stretching as we speak, will not be the 53 that are going to play against Denver in 2 weeks. I guarantee you that. I still think, or at least I was thinking, it might not even be the 53 that play against Dallas on Sunday. But that's less likely now because we're already to Monday's practice. I still think something could happen in the next 24 hours, but it's less likely. I do think the Giants are going to tweak this roster, though, before the Broncos game for sure.
Oh, absolutely. By then, you'll probably see at least another face or two. But even if they bring a new player in, Paul, there's not really going to be enough time for that player to digest the playbook and get adjusted that you would think they'd use them even on Sunday against Dallas.
Depends on if that player has played here once before.
Hint, hint, perhaps somebody who has put on a Giants uniform, as Paul touched on, not just this week, but also last week. And real quickly, just to piggyback off of Paul's point as to why they cut a guy like Marvin Austin, and Ed, appreciate the phone call. When you look at the other defensive tackles they had, it's not as if they don't have any depth at that position. You know, Joseph and Jenkins are going to be your starters. You have Rodgers, you have Hankins, and you have Patterson. So I understand it's a nice luxury to keep Marvin Austin on the roster, but clearly, top to bottom, they had other needs that they needed more depth at, Ed. And that was the big reason why I think they had to say to themselves, either we get value in return for Marvin Austin, if we can't trade him, unfortunately, we have to cut him and look to add depth at another position. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Steve in Connecticut. Steve, what's happening?
What's going on, Lance? What's going on, Paul?
Hi.
Question about the running backs. You know, let's say we get a veteran running back. Where does that put Michael Cox at? I mean, is he still going to do the kickoff returns?
And that's his job. That's where he's won the job. He's the kickoff return guy.
All right. Now, let's just say for whatever reason, for the time being, we don't get a veteran running back. Where does that put him at then? Does that put him backing up David Wilson?
I think for the time being, unless they bring in that so-called veteran running back in the next 24 hours, Darrell Scott might wind up being the number two against the Cowboys only because of his experience. He does know the playbook a little bit better, and he has been here longer than Michael Cox has been. If you watch the preseason games, when the Giants put Michael Cox in the backfield, he did very, very well with the ball. No question about that. But when the ball wasn't in his hands, specifically when other teams tried to get a pass rush into the Giants' backfield, they had very little trouble getting around Michael Cox. Who had difficulty not only picking up pass pressure, but had difficulty identifying pass pressure. And that's not a good thing.
That's why when you look at the loss of Andre Brown, I didn't mean to cut you off, Steve, the fact that they lose their best pass protector is probably somewhat of concern, more so than just losing Andre Brown as a runner. You have to remember, David Wilson doesn't have a lot of experience in pass protection. Michael Cox is a rookie, and Darrell Scott has been hurt and hasn't had a lot of playing time. So by losing Andre Brown, not only do you have to bring in a running back to help fill the void that can pick up some yardage, but you also need to bring in a guy that's going to help protect Eli Manning. So it's really twofold in terms of losing a guy like Andre
Look,
Brown.
Look, I'm going to make something very clear to you, and I told people this back in March, and unfortunately for the Giants, during the spring workouts, Henry Hynoski got hurt. But back in March, I told you, Henry Hynoski is their best pass protector in the backfield. Their fullback is the best guy at picking up the blitz. And when Hynoski injured his leg and then had to have surgery on his knee and his leg combined, that really threw a wrench into the Giants' pass protection scheme because none of these other guys, Andre Brown included, are really good at it.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for weighing in. Greatly appreciate it. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, Shakes.
It's a good day, man. It's a good day. Nice weather. Pass protect and running back. We got to bring in Brandon Jacobs. I mean, who's going to do it? Unless you throw Bear Pasco on third downs as a pass protector and running back, I guess that can work. But I'm looking at the Dallas game, and I'm a little worried. I got to say that. And also, I wanted to say two things about the last 53. I like the team. I wish James was on the 53, but I'm happy that he's on the practice squad. You know, I've been saying, I'm preaching about him since after the draft, Paul. But Marvin Austin is where I'm disappointed at because I really want him on the team, and I think he should have been on the team over Tretel, but I know why they picked Tretel, because of special teams. But if it was because of defensive end, I could have, you know, you could have threw Jenkins at end sometimes and kept Austin, but I understand why they kept that time. But the last thing I wanted to say about the 53 is the David Carr situation. I don't agree with it. I think Carr outplayed Painter, but that's their call, and that's it. Thanks for taking my call, y'all.
All right, Shakes. Short and sweet this time. Shakes is usually much more vocal every morning. I'm surprised. Bit mellow this morning.
I agree. I mean, look, opening day is less than a week away, and he doesn't sound very jacked up to me.
He hasn't reached the Paul DeTino level.
A few people do.
That's very true. But I don't even think you've reached the pinnacle yet. You're not even there.
I am trying very hard to low-key it today, but it's like New Year's for me, man. Are you kidding me? The first Monday of week one of the regular season? Oh, man, I am just jumping inside.
Well, you're itching for this show to end so you can go to practice. I can tell.
No,
already.
I can't. Practice just started at 10 o'clock, and they're going to shut it down after a half hour, so they'll be closing it just as we're finishing up the show.
That's not going to stop you from putting some pads on and running some laps around there.
I will tell you, I'm devastated.
I can imagine. 201-939-4513 on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to Elijah in Indiana. Elijah, welcome to the program. What you got?
How you guys doing?
Doing well, Elijah. What's happening?
I agree with Shakes, what he said about being afraid of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm super afraid. I just want to get to the linebackers. So the starters are, again, Dan Connor. Was it Spencer?
And Paysinger?
That's his name, Spencer. Spencer Paysinger.
And Keith Rivers.
So I was going to say, do you think that with that last spot for the practice squad, do you think they will probably pick up a linebacker or a safety? Because we're kind of low on that. So,
well, you have to understand something. Will Hill is coming back in 4 weeks after his NFL substance abuse violation. And the Giants like him a lot. They like him on specials. They also like him in the regular defense in the sub package. So, you know, they don't really need to go looking for an extra safety right now because they've already got a guy who they know who can play coming back in a month. Now, as far as the linebackers are concerned, again, Sabino was a guy they were very intrigued by, but I don't know. I didn't see him picked up by anybody. I'm a little surprised because I do know that they were thinking about him.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. I mean, I watched a couple of his plays. I think it was the Steelers game. He looked pretty good. I mean, he didn't show enough aggressiveness that I would like to see from him, but he looked pretty good.
Well, and, no indication on his Twitter site as to whether or not he's joined anybody. So, I don't know.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Leisure. Thanks so much.
All right.
Yeah, Sabino out of Ohio State, I do not see any word that he was claimed off of waivers. Clearly, a lot of players are still out there and eligible, and perhaps the Giants are going to continue to monitor the waiver wire and explore other options. But it's possible they may add a linebacker or safety in that final eighth slot on the practice squad. But as I threw out earlier, I think they're leaving it open in the event that they have to remove somebody who's currently on the 53-man roster, such as a Larry Donnell, because they're holding an extra tight end, as Paul mentioned, because Heinoski's not yet back to 100%, so Bear Pascoe at this point needs to serve as your fullback. So really, you have three tight ends on the roster because Bear Pascoe is your fullback. That's how you have to look at the 53-man roster right now. It's not as if four tight ends and Heinoski's your fullback. Heinoski's on the roster, but he's not healthy, so therefore you have to do that math within your head leading up to the first game. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jack in Virginia. Jack, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, what's going on? You kind of took the wind out of my sails with the Larry Donnell comment, but I'm still going to reach the Paul Dottino level today, all right? I'm going to reach it. All right, I'm going to definitely reach the Paul Dottino level. Listen, I'm sorry. I understand what's going on with Heinoski, that you've got Pascoe as your fullback. Having said all that, I still can't justify keeping a Larry Donnell on the roster over a guy like a Marvin Austin or a Kyle Bosworth. The Austin thing still troubles me for this reason. I understand that he's not reached his full potential. I understand that, you know, he was injured last year. I still look at Austin's age, and I look at, you know, big baby Sean Rogers' age and Patterson's age, and I to me, it just doesn't add up. I understand they had great preseasons. I understand they look good in practice. But preseason's one thing, as we all well know, and the regular season's another. And you rotate that D-line. I don't see a Sean Rogers even being rotated in and out, or a Mike Patterson even being rotated in and out. I don't see them lasting over a 16-game season. I'd take my chances with the younger guy. And for the reason being that I have nightmares. I have no idea how the Cowboys didn't claim Austin off the waiver wire because they are so depleted on the D-line. I thought that would have been an automatic I would have checked that off the list right away. I don't know how that didn't happen. I was surprised it was Bosworth. I thought they were deep at linebacker, but I know they're having trouble with special teams, so maybe that's where that move came in. But you just can't, to me, I don't fathom it. The Giants were so deep at D-line. I heard they were trying to trade for Austin at the last minute to another team. Why weren't they exploring that option 2 or 3 weeks before? Maybe they were, but why weren't they going to some team, hey, look, you know, we see you're kind of deep at linebacker. You're probably going to be making one or two cuts there. We might like a guy there. Hey, we're deep at D-line. What do you say we make a trade? That or even safety position as it became a need lately with all the injuries. Again, the Austin thing is a head-scratcher. I would not give that opportunity to the Cowboys to pick him up for that week one game. So I don't know. Maybe they're still going to pick him up. You guys might be able to shed some light on that for me.
Marvin Austin had a couple of years to prove his worth to the Giants. He spent 1 year on injured reserve, and then last year his resume is pretty blank. Did not do a whole lot. And Tom Coughlin tried to explain to everybody that when they make these decisions, they're going to be based on a number of things. What you see in the games, what you see on the practice field, each and every snap, which they have to grade now because the CBA turns their practices into flag football and they really can't hit so much. And so Tom just has to look at effort in a lot of cases and grade that. Then they grade the classroom. which, of course, takes on a heavier emphasis than it used to because of the watered-down practices. Now, when you put all those things together, you have to come up with a final grade on the player. Then once you do that, you have to take into account, okay, what is his injury history? What is his age? What is his contract situation? How does it affect our cap? There are probably 8 different things that have to be determined before you figure out whether or not you are truly going to keep that player. And Marvin Austin did not pass the test when they went through all of these tentacles. Case closed.
I always point back to last season, Paul. Marvin Austin was a healthy scratch more often than not. That should say it all. You know, he had plenty of opportunities to impress the coaching staff, make a statement, and there were injuries last year. And even despite those injuries, he still did not find a way to get on the field. And Jack, appreciate the phone call. The other play to keep in mind is they have Jonathan Hankins, who's also a second-round pick now. So they have some youth infused on the defensive line.
And quite honestly, let's just go right to the eye test. Didn't Mike Patterson have a better preseason than Marvin Austin?
Absolutely. Patterson had one sack after another. He made a huge impact on this team. And the Giants know him very well from the days that they went up against him when he was against the Eagles. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Our very good friend Len in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Labor Day.
Same to you, Len.
Sorry. Sorry you have to work on Labor Day, but happy Labor Day anyway.
Oh, Paul's not going to complain. He's in paradise. It's Giants football on Labor Day.
There you go.
Me?
There you go. here we go. Week one coming up, and we got our 2013 Giants. Let's go, Big Blue. 34-20 Giants next Sunday night. And I still got them. I don't care what the situation is. I still got them at 11 games. John, you know, that's what I've been saying way back in June. Not terribly surprised by any of the cuts. Maybe Bosworth, where you could say, well, we shorted ourselves at linebacker. Marvin Austin, the handwriting's been on the wall for 4 months. I mean, we signed 2 free agents, gave them bonus money, drafted Hankins. We're hoping Kuhn was going to come back. I mean, Marvin was facing an uphill battle on this team.
And quite honestly, Sean Rogers, who spent last year on injured reserve, got through the summer camp healthy. And I'm going to tell you, Len, that was part of the equation in stockpiling defensive tackles. The Giants were not sure that Sean Rogers at, 12 years in this league and 330 pounds, a big mountain of a man that he is, they weren't sure he was going to hold up injury-free during the course of the summer, but he has, and he's played well.
Yes, and let's hope that continues. Of course, we got Marcus Kuhn out there on the pup list if something happens to him. And who knows how long Marvin's going to be on the street. He may be there if there are breakdowns as we go on in the season. But I mildly surprised, but, not overwhelmingly surprised. I think the 53 is the best 53 we could get. Here's what I'm worried. If I'm worried about anything, I'm really not. I think we're going to beat the Cowboys. Paul, can you see a situation, all offseason we've been saying Nassib will never get a uniform. Could you see a situation on Sunday night that we can't field 46 healthy players? That there will not be a healthy scratch? Nassib will get a uniform because, we're only stressing 45 guys. Why not give him a uniform for Sunday night? I mean, we're a little nicked up. I'm looking at it. We may not see a healthy scratch on Sunday night, Paul. What do you think of that?
You know, I wish I could be out of practice right now and tell you who is trying to practice on this Monday morning, but we're in doing the show. Let's see. Going into the weekend, you suspected that Boss is nicked up. You know that for sure. You know that Andre Brown is nicked up, so that's 2.
David Deal?
You know that Deal's nicked up, that's 3. You know that Robinson's nicked up, that's 4.
That's 4.
Cruz is going to practice by Wednesday. Victor Cruz is going to practice by Wednesday.
Okay, hope so. Let's go on the defensive side. Let's go on the defensive side.
Okay, our defense. DeMontre Moore's got that shoulder, so he's kind of iffy right now. So that's 5. Jason Pierre-Paul is probably going to take some snaps, but how many, I don't know. That is potentially six.
All right. Well, we're getting close, Paul. My point was we're getting close.
Yeah.
Hopefully Victor plays for a lot of reasons. I mean, yeah. You know, the bottom, we could have, we might not have a healthy scratch on Sunday night. That doesn't bother me much. Victor's a key guy, and that's where I'm going with
the conference. Did we say Heinoski? Actually, there would be seven right there.
There you go. Nassib may actually get a uniform on Sunday night. Because you all summer long we were saying, oh, no way, he's not even going to ever go. At least I was anyway, Paul. He's not going to dress.
Let me make something very, very clear to you. And I like Ryan Nassib. He's a really, really nice, nice young man. If
right.
he has to play in Sunday's game against the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to want to shut off the TV in a hurry.
I know. I'm not saying he's going to play, Paul. I'm going to say, why not give him a uniform? We're
I
only
understand.
Going to dress 45.
Well,
we're
look, they'd dress... rather give it to him than me.
and I'm included to that, too. I think we got to win. We can talk about it more as the week goes on. I'm happy with this team. I wish we didn't have the guys nicked up that we do. But I think there's an awful lot of talent there. And John, you know what I always seem to say, ask you the key question. I'll ask this. I'll probably ask you this 16 times during the regular season. Is Eli playing? That's the key. And, the other core players, our core players have to play well. If we're going to get to 11 wins, and I think we will, those 8 to 10 guys that we're paying big money to, the veterans, the guys we're counting on, these are the guys who got to pull us through, and I think they will. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Let's go Giants. I can't wait till next Sunday night.
All
Giants
right,
34, all right, Giants 34, Cowboys 20.
Wow, early predictions out of Len. Len's killing me, though. He's calling me John. John will be back tomorrow. For now, I'd like to go by Lance, but I appreciate the phone call, Len. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Let's go to George in Morristown, New Jersey. George, what's happening?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing well, George. What you got?
I can't believe these Giant fans talking about Marvin Austin like this guy was he was terrible.
You'd think he was John Mendenhall, right?
He's terrible. He didn't play his senior year in college. He came into the Giants. They got lucky. They thought they were going to get lucky with this kid. They snuck him into the draft, the second round. They thought he was going to come out. This kid's done nothing. He's been hurt. Hey, Parcells used to say, you don't make the club in the ice baths, right?
Exactly.
That's true.
He's done nothing. Look at him they're better off with this kid, Kuhn.
LaMarcus Kuhn,
much
by the way,
player.
We didn't really
much
talk
better.
About him, but, he had the ACL surgery last year, and he's on PUP. He's doing very, very well, and I think, to be honest with you, the decision to put him on PUP for 6 weeks is as much the depth-related as a defensive tackle than it is his inability to play, because he looks good with the trainers on the side.
Right. But he's a much better player than Austin is never going to be the player that he was as a junior in college. He will never reach that. If he was, he would have already reached that, and they would have never let this kid slide out the door. He's just not, I don't even know where these Giant fans are looking at.
As
he
much
did
as,
nothing.
As much as Austin was a risk at 2, Kuhn is a steal at 7.
Exactly.
He can
I don't even know what they're looking at. And Patterson, the guy was a Giant killer when he played for Philadelphia. Ask Sean O'Hara. Sean O'Hara says he's the toughest guy that he ever had a block.
Sean O'Hara said he voted for him on the Pro Bowl every single year.
Exactly. And I won't call you John, I'll call you Lance.
I appreciate that, George. Thanks so much.
No problem. No problem. But seriously, I don't know where these guys are looking. I don't know why the disappointment. I mean, it was a waste, And this is not a future league anymore. This is not you draft. The Giants, they let a lot of guys hang in there and hope, and they work with them, and they work with them. And then, look at Ramsey Bardens. They should have got rid of that guy 2 years ago. He's a waste. What did he do
for
the Giants? What did he do for them? Nothing. When they needed him the most, he dropped the pass. Anita Marks made a comment a couple of weeks ago how, it's the future. These guys, they work well. In the NFL, it's today. It's not 2 years from now. It's today. You win today or you're a loser, period.
Great point. Thanks so much, George.
It's
appreciate
not a future
in.
Thing. I'm sorry to bother you.
not a problem, man. We thank you for weighing in this morning. And listen, Paul, I think George is right. You know, you can only be so patient with these players after a while. And we field tons of calls. George hit on Ramsey's Bar, and I was waiting for that name to come up. And I've seen some comments on Twitter. They did put him on reserve injured. But at the end of the day, you know, Ramsey's Barden has also not been able to take full advantage of his reps and his opportunities. And they have a lot of depth at wide receiver. What are you going to keep him around for? It's the same thing with Marvin Austin. Look, you need guys that are going to make their presence felt.
There is no question when he was on the field this summer, Ramsey's Barden far outplayed Jarrell Jernigan and should have been the fifth receiver on this team. The problem was he came down with a sore knee, missed the last two preseason games, hardly practiced the last 2 weeks of the preseason, and landed in the doghouse. The spot was there for him to grab, and he dropped it.
But that's been the story of his career, Paul.
Yes, it has.
Look at the Eagles game last year. With that penalty, then he suffers a concussion, and that was a week after he had that huge game against Carolina. Everybody thought it was his breakout campaign. Then he can't stay healthy.
He has only himself to blame because it was sitting right there on the table for him. Jarrell Jernigan did nothing to take that roster spot away. Ramsey's Barden gave it to him.
And Barden still couldn't hold on to it. Unbelievable. 201-939-4513, the telephone number. Let's go to Ed in Houston. Ed, what's happening?
Good morning, guys. I was looking at this roster, and there are a few surprises every year, but I'm really surprised that they're going to go to Dallas with Wilson, Cox, and Scott. There's no veteran pass protection. There's no veteran power back for the short yardage situation. I would have thought they would have at least kept Terrain through the first game. And then if they decide to do that thing where they don't have to guarantee the salary, maybe look at somebody like Jacobs for week two. But if they expect to win this game on Eli's arm on the road with these guys, that's the only thing that scares me at this point.
Well, they're going to go up against some very tough pass rushers. Dallas has DeMarcus Ware. Those of you who follow the NFL are very familiar with him. Their linebacker core now in a 4-3 alignment. Sean Lee is now in the middle. Bruce Carter on the outside. I mean, you're 100% right. And they've got a lot of pass rushers, and the running backs and the fullbacks and the tight ends are going to need to protect Eli Manning. I think the positive is, Ed, if there's anything to take away heading into this Dallas game, with Bear Pasco at the fullback spot, he has a lot of experience, and you can make the argument he's probably the best blocker right now amongst all of their tight ends. So that at least gives Eli Manning protection. David Wilson has a lot more experience under his belt than he had coming into this point last season. So that's another positive. And you hope that the offensive line, with a week full of practice, is going to feel comfortable with one another. Remember, they've been playing a game of musical chairs for the last couple of weeks. Three different preseason games. Three different offensive lineman alignments. So
Four.
I lost count at this point. There's been so many, Paul. So the bottom line is you hope that there's some continuity come Sunday. All three of those factors should give you some hope to get rid of those worries as much as you had maybe coming into today.
Actually, there is a problem with Pasco as the fullback. While you say he's their best blocking tight end, well, that's true, Lance. The problem is he's a better in-line blocking tight end than he is in the backfield or as an H-back. And that's a big problem, which is why the Heinoski injury was a double blow for the Giants, because not only do they lose something at fullback with Pasco back there, instead, they're also losing something off the line's blocking ability. It's a double whammy. When Heinoski comes back, they improve themselves in two spots immediately.
Well, it's slim pickings at this point. I mean, their only option is to move Pasco, because then if you leave Pasco at tight end, Paul, I mean, who are you bringing in at fullback?
That's the problem. And so I'll be honest with you. I had gotten wind that from one of the Patriots people told me in Foxborough on Thursday that Jake Ballard's knee was healthy and that he was prepared to play. But I had heard from someone else in the Patriots that there were mixed reviews on him and they thought he might get cut. So I talked about it during our pregame show. Watch for Jake Ballard to see when he gets in the game, how many snaps he gets, because he may be available. And I think the Giants would look at him, if for no other reason, that he is a really good blocking tight end. So what happens? Jake Ballard comes in late in the game, didn't move real well, gets cut, and he's still out there. Now, I don't know. Did the Giants call and investigate to find out what his medical records are and how good that knee is? Did they see him not run very well in the game and get scared off and say, look, even if he gets cut, he's really not running so well. It's not worth making that phone call. I can't tell you exactly how that went down. I would suspect they probably did investigate Jake Ballard, but maybe they didn't find out what they really wanted to hear was good news. Maybe they kind of heard bad news on it, and that's why Jake Ballard's not here this morning, because he is a very solid blocking tight end who could have helped that situation.
And that speaks volumes of Michael Pope, because when Ballard first came in, Paul, you would have not referred to him as a tremendous blocker. I think Pope did a great job in terms of moving him along.
He was a shot in the dark. He was a reach, you know, and look what he developed into. But you could see he was not running real well when he finally got into that game last Thursday night. And maybe that's what turned the Giants off.
201-939-4513. Want to try to squeeze in a caller or two before we wrap up the show.
Before we say anything else, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, one of the writers at practice while we were in the studio, says Victor Cruz, JPP, and Henry Hanoski all on the field and will participate in some parts of practice. That a good sign.
Absolutely. Specifically the latter two, because JPP, who did not have a lot of reps so far during the course of training camp, and Henry Hanoski, may be a stretch that he could be available for the Dallas game. Very premature right now to determine whether or not he'll be able to suit up, but it's a step in the right direction that he's out there taking part in some aspects of practice. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Didn't know you were going to be on today, and thanks to the military man for your service, and be careful in Korea. Don't get in any trouble with those beautiful Korean women. I go through Korea to get to Thailand with my wife, but I was surprised to my guy, the running back Terrain. I thought he was going to make it, but the extra tight end. And I think Bosworth, one of the reasons why he didn't make it is because the player, Jim Fassel, wishes he would have had in the San Francisco game when they blew that field goal and they were on a Super Bowl run. Steve Diassi, the holder, he's also a linebacker. So I think because Diassi takes a roster spot, that hurt Bosworth. But I was really shocked that they left Cargo, because he's a veteran, of course, and he runs the option in practice. And I watched the Washington Redskins preseason. They have a backup quarterback that runs the option. So more and more teams are using the option.
Well, let me cut you off right there for just a second, because the one thing that Jarrell Jernigan actually has done for this team in his short time here is that he can run that quarterback option for the scout team, because he is
right.
So nimble, nifty, and quick that, you know, they used him to mimic RG3 last year.
Oh, good. Yeah, I guess that's what I figured. There was a wide receiver or someone. But I'm still disappointed, because he seemed like, you know, he's a savvy veteran if he had to come in. But hopefully Eli is always reliable and really never gets injured. So hopefully it won't be an issue. And I'm glad Len is excited. I'm happy with the overall roster. And do you think Brandon Jacobs, I know you said it before, is he going to return? And my last comment is, I'm excited about the Dallas game, but like you said, Antrell Roll and Mundy, they've never played in a real game together. The linebackers, which I think are all good, but they've never played as a unit. So I'm just a little worried, the shuffling of the offensive line for that first game. But you think Jacobs is going to come back, or possibly Terrain? And thanks for taking the call, guys.
Thanks so much, Andrew. Appreciate you weighing in.
Yeah, I don't think Terrain is coming back. I think we've seen the last of him. They had signed him last year with the hope he could provide some insurance. And I don't think he ever really fully came back as well from that leg surgery as the Giants had hoped. I'm gonna make this very clear, because the Twitterverse has been going bonkers over my Jacobs comments now for quite a while. Let me say what is fact. What is fact is that bridge has not been burned and the door is not closed on bringing Brandon Jacobs back. Okay, that's fact. My opinion is that he is the best fit for the Giants right now, given the current state of this roster. How about that? Okay, let's make that very, very clear to everybody out there. And whether or not those two things mesh, only time will tell.
Here's another name I'm going to throw out to you, and Jeff Fiegels brought this up on our pregame show. What about DJ Ware? Do you think they would consider bringing him back, considering he knows the playbook?
I think, you know, he's well over a year removed, and I know you're going to say Jacobs is too, but I think when Ware left here, he was more gone, as opposed to, Jacobs, who always kind of had his mind and his heart on being a Giant anyway.
Two other quick updates before we sign off. Paul read some of Paul Schwartz's tweets from the New York Post. DeMontre Moore back on the field after missing time with a bruised shoulder. So that is also another positive for the Giants. He missed time ever since having that block punt in the opener against the Steelers in the preseason. David Boss working on the side, not practicing. So he is still a big question mark come this weekend's game against the Dallas Cowboys. That's why they went the route of moving Kevin Booth back to center. They saw Brewer at left guard. Brewer also had time at left tackle, and Brewer did make the team, so he is a player with a lot of experience moving from one position to another, but also a player that still needs to prove that he can be a consistent offensive lineman, because he did have trouble out of that left tackle spot in the loss to the Patriots in the final preseason game. So this offensive line could very well continue to evolve and change as the week goes, but David Boss right now is a question mark, but all signs from what we're hearing and seeing out of practice is that the usual suspects are back out on the field, and that means good things for the Giants, because it's still early in the week and they'll have some time to get guys back on by Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, because tomorrow is their weekly day off. Tuesdays they are not practicing throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, what people have to understand is just because it's the Labor Day holiday, the NFL has its own schedule to follow, and this is not about giving people off on Labor Day because it's a nice thing to do. This is about preparing for week one of the regular season, and Tom Coughlin knows he's got a game Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys, and hey, you know what? It's a regular work week for the Giants and anybody involved with the NFL. And so we are on the regular season schedule, which is Tuesday is the usual day off. That's just the way it is. So, folks, I know a lot of you are out there saying it's Labor Day. Why aren't these folks off? Well, because this is the NFL.
And holiday or not, Paul DeTino doesn't take any days off, so it really doesn't matter.
Do you know one of my favorite practices of the year used to be Thanksgiving Day practice? I loved Thanksgiving Day practice. And unfortunately, when Tom Coughlin was installed as head coach of the Giants, he closed Thanksgiving Day practice to the media. Bill Parcells, Dan Reeves, Jim Fassel, Ray Handley, they all allowed Thanksgiving Day practice to be open. And I was here every year. I mean, it was a big deal for me to be here.
I killed you that when they...
I was very upset.
This is your family. You know, I mean, sitting down at the table.
I will tell you that usually you would only see one, two, maybe maximum three reporters at the Thanksgiving Day practice. And the only regular who would even consider coming out, and I think he came to a few of them, was Neil Best of Newsday. But otherwise, maybe one or two of the papers would send like some backup guy, some third string guy to the Thanksgiving Day practice. But I was a regular, and I felt it was important to be there, so I was always there. And it was really a fun practice to watch because you got to see a lot. You knew nobody else was going to be around from the competition, from the other media, so you'd be able to see everything kind of like, it was almost like a private viewing. It was cool. And then Tom Coughlin said, that's it. Everybody go home. We're shutting it down. We're only going to practice by ourselves. And so he ruined my Thanksgiving Day holiday practice.
So you had to go in the corner and eat the turkey all alone. What an image. I mean, let that simmer in, listeners. Just take that with you as we close out the show. Paul DeTino hasn't been the same since.
No.
Very, very emotional situation for you.
And I weep every Thanksgiving
I can
morning.
Imagine. And also, we should note the depth chart is not that deep after you. You see, you mentioned the other venues in terms of the media bringing their backups. After you, there's nobody that can match your energy. So there is no backup to you. It's either you or there's no coverage, period. It's as simple as that. You know, this is not rocket science here. With that being said,
yes,
Paul, it has been fun this morning.
Yes,
we
sir.
We will continue to break down the Giants all week long as 9:30 to 10:30 each and every morning. It's Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com.
And if I'm not mistaken, this week we do begin our regular schedule,
correct.
Right? So on Mondays and Fridays, it's you and John.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then on Wednesdays and Thursdays, it's Anita and myself.
That is correct.
And then on Tuesdays,
it's me solo, and then John joins me late.
There you go. Done deal.
So everybody can take that and study that and get set for the upcoming regular season.
The BBKL
oh,
depth chart. How about that?
It's a deep chart. We rotate, but we get it done. Appreciate all the callers and the listeners today. We'll be with you tomorrow, same time. For Paul DeTino, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Labor Day weekend. We'll see you mañana. Have a good one.